Tommy Orange received his MFA in creative writing from the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe in 2016. While he was there, Tommy worked on something he conceived years earlier, a novel about Native people in Oakland, California. There was published last month. Rapturous reviews and a wave of publicity followed, and it's now a national bestseller. I'm Spencer Beckwith for KUNM, and Tommy Orange is with me now. Tommy, welcome.
Thank you so much.
The response you've been getting about the book from critics and readers, is it the kind of response that you expected?
No, definitely not. I didn't even ever have the dream of getting something in the New Yorker or becoming a New York Times bestseller. I really wanted to teach at the school that I went to, and I knew if I published a book, I could get a teaching job. So I had, my dream was pretty reasonable. I know dreams are supposed to reach a little further than that, but I would have been happy for my book just to become a book, maybe at a small university press, and then have a teaching job and career. And I've been very happy that the Native community has, everyone so far who's talked to me about it, who's read it, who's Native, has loved it and has felt like I'm speaking to them and their experience. So that's been important to me.
What about people who aren't Native?
It's a mix of people appreciating an aspect of the world that they didn't know about, and also a lot of amazing compliments about the writing itself, which has been really great.
You make a point in the novel that the stories and histories of Native Americans largely have been told by other people. What were the Native perspectives that you really wanted to share through there?
The ways that people either struggle because of or benefit from history. I'm trying to get a sober look back at what we've been as a country and who Native people are and what we are now. So much of the history has been written wrong on purpose, and really wanting people to look at what actually happened and what that feels like to be alive now and to know that that's what you come from.
From the beginning, as I said earlier, you conceived this novel as having multiple stories and multiple voices rather than focusing on one or two protagonists. Why did you make that decision?
Initially, it was more of a craft level decision. I just liked multi-voiced novels or polyphonic novels. In retrospect, or maybe somewhere along the way, I realized that coming from a community who hasn't had very much representation, it's powerful to have a whole bunch of voices happen at once. And also, because we've been thought of in such a monolithic way, to expand the dynamic range of experience. So there's a little bit more of a retrospective explanation that makes me sound like I was doing more than maybe I was doing, but I just really enjoy novels that have a lot of voices in them.
And it's very satisfying for the reader when they begin to realize that all these voices were going to start coming together. Was that a structural decision on your part, or did it have more significance than just being a structural decision? Were you trying to say something about interconnectedness?
I thought of the idea of the novel a year before I started writing into it. I knew that I wanted to have all of the characters, their lives converge at a powwow in Oakland at the Oakland Coliseum. Just that seed of an idea. How to make them do it was pretty tricky. To have them feel, have that interconnected feeling. And like you said, the experience of, as a reader, realizing that all these characters are related in some way. It was hard to make that happen, but I knew I wanted to do it from the beginning. And I really wanted to earn the right for this multi-voiced linked stories type book to earn the name of novel and really have it all be related and interconnected and interwoven.
There is very entertaining. It's gripping. It's funny. But there is an unmistakable and very understandable anger and sense of confusion in these stories. How would you describe what that anger is?
That's a tricky one to answer. When you come from a people who have been for so long and continue to be not only mistreated, but we don't even get our own control of our own narrative, the sense of outrage or just plain rage, it runs really deep. And writing into that, in ways it was cathartic, and I hoped that I'd have some sense of relief or at least connection to other Native people who feel the same way.
The time you spent, Tommy, at the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe with the faculty and with your fellow students, what kind of impact did that have on your novel?
I started that program in 2014, so I was a couple years, I was about halfway into writing the novel, and that was the messiest part, figuring out how they were all going to connect. It was a really good time to get structure in place, you know, the structure of deadlines and getting feedback, and the timing of the program was really good. But joining a Native writing community that's specific to Native people was also, it was also a really powerful thing for me. And I think because you don't have to come in with explaining your culture or explaining yourself, and everyone kind of understands your experience, you can formally do more, and there's a sense of freedom with how you can express yourself, and you're not limited to writing a certain way. And that was really good, I think, for the book too. On top of that, the faculty was amazing, and I learned a lot about the craft of writing, because prior to that, I'd been all self-taught.
Some critics have made a point of saying that you and your colleagues at IAIA represent the new Native Renaissance in writing. Now, I don't know if you agree with that, but how might your writing and what you choose to write about be different from previous generations of Native writers?
Only in the sense that I'm writing about right now, and that should always be changing. And I think one of the things I love about novels is that they represent, or they can represent, what it feels like to be alive right now. And I really like reading contemporary fiction for that reason. As far as Renaissance goes, I always cringe a little bit to hear that, because it's talking about a wave that comes and then recedes. And with no other types of writing, does anybody have to worry about something coming and going away? So the idea that there would be a peak of interest and then a forgetfulness again is kind of against everything that Native writers are trying to write into. So one of the things about having an institution like the Institute of American Indian Arts is it can build sustainability and have a constant stream of voices coming out of the program and hopefully succeeding. And you know, me and Therese Myatt's books, we graduated together at the same time. We both got on the New York Times bestseller list. We sold our books within 2 weeks of each other, and this is all both good for the program and hopefully good for other Native authors, and maybe we'll... it'll have publishers paying more attention to new Native voices. And if they know that people want to read about us, then we'll be more likely to publish our books.
Every reader is going to have their favorite character, and there are a lot of different characters. My favorite is a young man who is about as marginalized as anyone can be. His name is Tony Loneman, and he suffers from fetal alcohol syndrome. Who is Tony, and why is he important to the storytelling here?
I think Tony, you know, how people can't look at him or don't want to look at him. In a way, he represents Native history and the general population's inability to look at what happened. I think he represents the idea that we want to look away because it's too ugly or it's just something that makes us uncomfortable. But, you know, that's, again, a thing that I thought of in retrospect and not something that I was writing into. The process of writing the whole thing was much more instinctual. So if it's not quite right for me to say that that's what I planned for Tony, Tony came as a voice first, and some of the thinking around what the significance of him came after.
Though it might be fair to say that it happened subconsciously for you.
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff that's being talked about that I was doing in the book is related to the unconscious and kind of, you know, giving yourself over to the process of writing a novel, I think, can be a very unconsciously informed process.
Tommy Orange, a graduate of Santa Fe's Institute of American Indian Arts, has just published his first novel, There, There, a best-selling look at urban Native American life. Tony, thank you so much for taking time to speak with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
More from Tommy Orange at KUNM.org. I'm Spencer Beckwith.